the marketing world and you're looking for inspiration, or you're a business leader who wants to understand what good marketing looks like, you're busy. You don't have time to sit around listening to a rambling 3-hour podcast. We get it. This is the Remarkable Marketing Podcast, where we celebrate the marketing rock stars that deliver truly remarkable marketing. And you'll hear short interviews with marketing execs who share stories about the best marketing they've ever done, how it delivered a huge impact, and how they overcame all the challenges to make it happen. If you aspire to be remarkable, you'll walk away with ideas on how to do truly epic marketing, getting right to the content of what you need for busy professionals. This is the Remarkable Marketing Podcast. Now your host, Eric Eden.
Welcome to today's episode. Our guest today is John. He is a top 1% growth expert. He has written 2 books and he's spoken on stages globally. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Awesome. Let's start by you just sharing a minute or two more about who you are and what you do.
Sure. So basically, I help either people get started in entrepreneurship, or I also mainly focus on helping people who have a business start growing that business. And then also I help people sell their business if they're at that stage. So I meet people at one of those 3 stages. They want to start a business. They have one that's doing okay. They want to grow or scale it. And if they're looking to sell it for 7 to 8 figures and possibly a little more.
The best day is when you start your business and also when you sell your business. Is that sort of the moral of the story?
I think so. But I've always thought about, when and if I sell mine, I go and think about, aren't I going to get bored? Aren't I going to be like, maybe I should start another? Maybe I should. So I thought about that, but I think I'll be one of the people who's caught up in the cycle and just doesn't stop because I'm like, oh, I have all this money now, but what can I do with the money? I can do another business.
You're like a shark. You'll always be swimming, right?
Never stop.
So why don't you share a story with us about some of the best marketing that you've done, the marketing that you're most proud of?
I would say, over my career, it's been a few different circumstances, all surrounding the same strategies, which I'll share, because when I first got started, we did not have a lot of money. So I do a lot of affiliate marketing, partnered with my dad, Richard Weberg. I've done that since I was about 12 years old, which is a long time now. I just turned 26 3 days ago. So it's been quite a few years I've been in the industry. And while I've branched off and I do many other things now, in my affiliate marketing, what really stood out and that I actually need to do more of right now is we would have contests. So in affiliate marketing, companies often launch contests. They give away prizes, cars, jewelry, watches, whatever, cash bonuses, which are the nicest. They give all these bonuses and things away for people who win contests in some companies regularly. And my best marketing was when we actually had the least amount of money possible, but we needed to win or at least place in the top 3-4 many of these contests with people who've had 3, 5, 10 times the email list and probably 15 times the total audience that we had. So what we did that I think stood out that was different is we became extraordinarily creative, which is what you have to do if you want your business to perform well and outperform others. And by being creative, what I mean is what we did was I would create sales videos, say for, let's just say for a health and wellness product or for a course that was launching and that we were a part of a contest in. I would create sales videos. I would start out the video with me doing a flip leading towards a sales pitch. The creative shock and awe, while it's not quote unquote business professional, people keep watching, which is the point of the video, is to get people to keep watching and to buy a product and service and to give them value. So I did that in such a way. Literally from videos, I would cut to a professional presentation or something like this, from my head being in a dryer to literally me doing flips to I have some more recent videos I've actually done. I realized I've actually done this recently. I dressed up as Clint Eastwood with a full, I bought a $100 alpaca poncho just for the skit. And I created the skit for a company we're an affiliate for. And when we've done that in the past, A, we either won contests or placed very highly. Or B, when we do it now, we just notice, oh, we got 5, 10, 20 extra sales with one email. Another one is, I'm sure you're familiar with the movie The Matrix. Everyone, their grandma, their kids, their cousins, all are familiar with it. Am I right?
I know Kung Fu.
I know Kung Fu. So I did the exact same thing. I noticed I have these big glasses that I never wear. And I'm like, what could I do with that? And then I had this coat. It's a black coat. And it looks like Matrix style. And the room was dark. And I'm like, oh, this kind of reminds me of that scene in The Matrix. He's sitting down with Neo and he has the red pill and the blue pill. He goes, you need to choose which one. So I did the exact same thing. And you need to choose which one, because option A is you sit back, you don't start your business, you keep your 9-to-5 grind, and you just keep being the same person as always, and you keep getting the same results as always. Option B is you become an entrepreneur. You change your life. You get tight. And I start going into it. And again, when I've done that, when you do that, these creative things, there's a huge boost in sales. There's a huge boost in brand recognition and people going, who, what is this company or business or person that's selling to me? And real quickly, a good example of this other than me, look at the Harman Brothers. The Harman Brothers do really creative ads like Squatty Potty, Poo-Pourri. They've sold Squatch Soap, you name it. Take a look at the Harman Brothers ads or even mine on my YouTube channel. Some of the things I've created, the creativity, when you do that, it performs everything. It performs so well.
So much better than just throwing a lot of money at it and in advertising. If doing creative things, you can be a lot more resourceful when you don't have the money. It forces you to be creative, right?
It does force you. But I think what makes marketing keep performing really well, and like you're saying, not just be the same old pitch, the same old, here's what we do, here's what we offer, here's how it works, here's how it helps you, is you have to stay in that creative, forceful mode. I think what makes businesses keep growing and scaling faster is when they stay in that, almost like we're in this poverty situation. We don't have a lot of money for our ad budget, or we do have a lot of money for ad budget. Let's pretend we don't. Let's pretend we don't have an ad budget at all. How can we be so creative and unique and outstanding with our content, with our blog, with our YouTube channel, with our email list, that we drive sales without a single dollar being spent? And that's what we had to do. And I think if businesses adapt that approach, because a lot of people, especially just getting started, are in that approach, you use that creativity to fuel and generate that budget from the profits from you being so creative and getting those sales, it'll make such a huge difference in the long run, especially if you keep that kind of grind creative mindset, full stop.
So that's really interesting. What do you help entrepreneurs do to start a company?
I think laying the foundation first is the most important, because I've worked with many clients, especially whether they've wanted their entire business built out from scratch, or whether they have a business that exists, but they don't know where they want to bring it. And then you spend weeks, if not months, trying to direct them and you name it. What I like to do is really fine tune, number one, what they're doing, who they're serving, but number two, a scalable process. Because the vast majority of businesses I've ever worked with, one, they don't do any follow-up, they don't do any email marketing. Two, they sell like a product, or they sell a variety of products, but they don't actually have like a dedicated upsell process or a way to get more money and also help the people they're trying to work with in their audience. So I think laying the foundation for a scalable process, and that's what most businesses don't have. It's why they stop growing, they stop scaling. It's because they don't have, from low ticket or freebie or lead magnets all the way going up to a 2K, 3K, 5K, 20K, whatever offer or pricing points they have to work with, they usually don't do that. So for example, course creators usually just sell courses. They don't sell a high ticket coaching or consulting plus a mastermind with that. So that'd be a perfect trio of product and services to offer together. Agencies, they just usually offer 90% of the time agency services, such as email marketing or ads, running your ads for you. Why wouldn't an agency also offer consulting, whether their own or someone else's consulting? Why wouldn't they have a mastermind for their clients together? There's so many different things you can do to lay out a better plan for your business to grow, whether you're just getting started, whether you have one or you're not hitting the profit margins and growth you need. I think really laying out the foundation for who you want to serve, why you're serving them, the creative content and marketing that will go behind that, and then your actual price points and all of your product and services laid out in a very methodical, purposeful manner.
I like it. That makes a lot of sense. You have to be able to scale and you have to have those processes in place to grow. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense on how you help people start their business and have those processes in the right place and, mm-hmm. and grow it. How do you help companies when the entrepreneur or the founders are ready to sell? How do you help them do that?
Number one, you need to produce, if you're looking to sell, you need to produce as much revenue as possible in the shortest period of time within a 3 to 6 month sprint, because how you calculate how much you're able to sell your business for, along with the assets of the business, along with email marketing, leads list, along with your social media following, along with the actual revenue being produced, et cetera, is producing as much revenue as possible. So what I first do is take a look at, number one, how much they think they want to sell their business for, because a lot of times people overestimate what their business is worth. Oh, it's, you know, we're doing a million or 10 million or 5 million a year right now. We could sell it for, oh, 100 million in a year. There's a lot of work that goes into getting you to produce enough revenue for you to actually sell for that price point. So a lot of it is, what can we do to inject as much profit and revenue as fast as possible? And that takes quite a bit of work of laying out possible promotions, possible affiliate promotions, scaling up their ads, making their ads more efficient, making their sales processes more efficient, because then they're producing more leads / customers with lower costs, which the ROI the company generates goes a part of how much they can sell for as well. So injecting with what I call as growth hacks, but like actually applicable, useful, long-term growth hacks that can increase conversion rates, customer retention, lifetime value of customer, et cetera. Getting that put into place is the first step. Getting them access to a variety of investors or investors kind of marketplace is the second step. Those are the two main ones that are priority, because usually, number one, businesses don't know how to increase their value fast enough to be able to sell for what they want to make. And two, they don't really have access or know who to connect with and network with to be able to get into a marketplace where they're seen by a lot of angel investors or different kinds of investors or people who'd be willing to buy the business.
That's cool. Let me ask you, you self-describe yourself as a top 1% growth marketer. What makes you top 1%?
There's a variety of things. It's a big brag. It really is a big brag, but I'll take it home. I've started to own it a lot more. Number one is I've worked with, at this point, 4 or 5 companies that have done, I've done consulting for them that have each done $300 million plus in sales. So you take a look at Frank Kern, you take a look at Sam Ovens and his company School. And we took a look at Marketer Hire. You take a look at many of these different companies I've either consulted for or worked with. They've done hundreds of millions of dollars a piece, and I've worked with them. Number two, I think my service goes above and beyond because of working with these different companies over the years, dozens if not hundreds, whether it's working with individual entrepreneurs, people like Matt Diggity, people like John Cristani, you name it. I've seen what they do, how they interact with customers, how they help people. Some of them do a great job. Some of them do an okay job. And I know just from my experience, I go above and beyond. You will not find a more genuine, helpful, caring person who will do anything and everything possible to help you grow your business as profitably as can be, who also happens to also have the strategy, because I've worked with businesses who have done 9 figures and everything above and below. One day, maybe, but I've worked with these big businesses that are doing anywhere from a few hundred thousand to tens of millions of dollars every single year and more. So I have the experience. I've done this for 12 years, but I do have years of doing it. I work with some pretty cool people, and I actually care about people. I deeply care about people. And I think that's the biggest thing, especially missing from consulting. And also you actually help your clients better because you don't just think you care or feel like you care. Because you actually care, you will go above and beyond to serve them.
Those sound like all the right cultural character attributes to be top 1% for sure. And I think the other thing that's a reality about business is that most businesses are not successful. 80% of small businesses fail in 5 years, I think is a stat. Yep. And
yep.
of those 20% who don't fail, a lot of them are not growth businesses. So they're lifestyle businesses, and maybe they make enough to stay in business, but they wouldn't yep. necessarily even claim that they are successful. And I think the main thing about that is growth, which is what you've been talking about, is you have to have that growth
yep.
to get there. And I think it is probably, if it may be top 1% or the top couple percent that really mm-hmm. are able to achieve that, right?
Yeah, especially if you took a look at you're right on the 5-year mark of when businesses either fail or go bankrupt or they just quit. Number one, growth. And number two, the profitability of most businesses people don't realize, especially if you're, whether it's your own business or you're looking at other people's businesses and think they're doing so hot, the profit margins are a lot less than you think, especially as most businesses grow and as they start to scale, the profit margins start shrinking faster and faster. People think, I can get a 4, 10x ROI. Once you start getting bigger business, it starts shrinking quite rapidly to very small margins. And yeah, that's why I talk a lot about growth, and I talk a lot about things that can usually help optimize and increase conversions across ads, across sales processes, across follow-up, across everything, because how profitable your business is, yes, you can use it to fuel lifestyle, career, your family, etc. But most importantly, future growth of the business has to be forefront. And if you want to hire better people, if you want to be able to invest and spend more money on ads and content, etc., and advance your product and advance your software or whatever else you have going on in your business, better infrastructure, better, you name it, better quality resources, etc., you have to have more profitability injected. Otherwise, like most businesses, you will keep staying stuck for just about as long as you've probably been stuck already.
Makes sense. So tell us about the two books that you put out.
So I put them out really young, and I got a lot of slack for that, because when you're young, you're told you don't have enough experience yet. But one of the biggest lessons I've taken from my life is I actually don't want, in some cases, the experience other people go through. I'd rather watch them make mistakes and go, ooh, I probably shouldn't do that. Ooh, that sounds like not a good idea. That's not going to help my life. And that's what I did at a very young age. My first book's called 19. And I wrote it when I was 19, because I, over my life, whether it is my own personal situations I've been in, but also a lot of kind of my ability to network and meet really cool people has allowed me to see into some really cool people's lives and see what is great, what isn't great. And I wrote about what I saw and the lessons I learned from a lot of other people, because yeah, if you can shortcut and learn lessons that will change your life forever, truly, without having to go through the bowl that isn't quite so enjoyable.
Well, that's the first book mainly covering
how to change your life financially, emotionally, physically, etc., in relationships, all around, based upon watching closely and studying and changing your own actions based upon what from other people and their lives around you. Number two, the other book is called Finally Wealthy, which for some people means, are you making tens of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars a year? And the answer was no, especially at the time. Finally Wealthy doesn't mean, it's a personal / business book about growing your personal income and wealth and your business's income and wealth. Wealthy doesn't mean you're making $10 million or even $1 million a year. Finally Wealthy to me means you have enough money that you never go to checkout anywhere and go, you don't think about the cost of things. You don't go, oh my God, is this too much? Finally Wealthy, being wealthy, means that if you want to travel somewhere next month, in a couple weeks, great, you can buy a plane ticket and go. Being wealthy means that if your neighbor, your friend, your family member needs a couple grand, 5 grand, maybe even 10 grand or possibly even more, or 20, 50 grand because of health, because of their car broke down, because of any of these things, you can go, I got you. I don't need it. I got you. That's what being wealthy and having money is actually about too. That's something that I've realized as I've gotten older. I've always wanted like biggest mansion possible. How many? I always wanted that lifestyle because I grew up with not that lifestyle. I've twice been almost homeless in my life. Thank God didn't have to go through that situation. And as I've gotten older, I've realized what success is actually about. It's actually about helping and giving to your family, your friends, and your community. Because the more you do that, the more the world's a better place, and that's worth more than anything you can put a buck to.
I think both of those are great topics. I think it's great that you started with a healthy amount of ambition, very young at 12 years old. Mm-hmm. I did the same thing. I started working at 12 years old. I was a paper boy.
Nice.
And did other jobs because the internet wasn't around. I'm older than the internet. I'm very old, you should know. But I also did in the dot-com boom before I was 25, made my first $1 million and definitely thought that I knew everything when I was 25. But I did know quite a bit, but I didn't know everything. And so I learned quite a bit more over the last 25 years. So I'm not giving you a hard time about writing your books. I actually think it's great that you put those ideas out there because I think both of those are awesome concepts and congratulations on that. Yeah.
Thank you. And again, I did it mainly because one, I'm someone who's always been like, oh, you think I can't do this or say I can't do this? Well, I'm 100% definitely going to do it now. Just to prove yourself and prove myself right, or prove them wrong, prove myself right. And two, because the ideas at the time I actually, in the books, almost all of it, I would still stick behind. No, I still have some years to grow and learn, as always, because that's always, once you make a big mistake, you go, ooh, that's quite what I thought how life worked, or relationships worked, or you name it worked. But yeah, a lot of the foundational stuff is simple. I think I've gotten more, almost less ambitious and more ambitious towards helping people and realizing there's the success. Success isn't money. Success is what you're able to do with money to help other people and to give. And that's thankfully where I've gone headed more towards, because the obsession with just money alone isn't healthy in most cases.
Yeah, I think the one thing you said about it's not just about years of experience. Mm-hmm. However, when I was younger, I will say at the same time that I very much underrated people who had a lot more experience than me. I'm like, what do you mean you need 10 or 15 years experience? I could do that right now. Like, I was always willing to jump in and get things done. But I can tell you one thing. Being 50, if I knew at 25 what I know now, my goodness, my lord. So I've learned to value experience, and I just encourage people as they're going through the journey. It's a long life.
Mm-hmm.
And be curious, always be learning, be a sponge,
and take from other people's experiences as much as you can. That's why I try to do. That's why I try to do in the book, is use other people's experiences. You're gonna, no matter what, experience some of it as much as you try not to anyways. This is how it works. But yeah, I think learning as much as possible and absorbing and going, okay, I'm going to try my best not to have this happen, but you never know.
I've had a lot of people on the show talk about how to stand out with marketing. I don't think I've had anybody talk about how they did flip outs to get people excited about marketing. Can you do a flip for us before the end of the show?
If I had the room, without the chair, I would.
But I encourage people to check out your YouTube channel. I was watching some of the videos on it. I think there's some really great stuff there. I'm going to link to your website and your YouTube channel and your LinkedIn. So if people want to connect with you and learn more about what we've been talking here, they can easily do that. Appreciate you sharing your story and your advice with us today. It was great to have you on the show.
You've been listening to the Remarkable Marketing Podcast. Our passion is to bring you the marketing rock stars who share stories about the best marketing they've done, how it delivered, and how they handled all the challenges that go along with it. And we do it all in 10 minutes. We only ask two things. First, visit the RemarkableMarketing.io website for more great insights. Second, this podcast has been brought to you by the next generation social networking app, Workverse. You can download and use the Workverse app for free to build your professional brand, become a paid expert advisor, and discover the best business events to attend. Download the Workverse app today. See you next time on the Remarkable Marketing Podcast.